It has been relatively quiet on the political front as of late, which is newsworthy in its own way. President Biden is in Illinois today. He's trying to sell his human infrastructure plan, the one that includes child care and workforce development. A deal to rebuild roads and bridges is still languishing. And in Congress, both parties are gearing up for the select committee to investigate the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. And Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy does have some pretty big decisions ahead. Which Republicans should serve on it? Our political strategists join us now. Alice Stewart is a Republican. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Peter. Great to be with you.
Good to have you. And Bill Press, it is good to have you. You are our Democrat today.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be here. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Bill.
All right, so let's get into this. CNN and Politico are reporting that Kevin McCarthy is going to name some Republicans to the January 6th committee. He could have chosen not to. Alice, do you think cooperation is the right move?
It absolutely is. I think a buy-in is much better than a boycott with regard to this January 6th commission. And a Politico piece this morning mentioned, I think an important question is, will McCarthy go the rabble-rouser route, or will he pick steady voices that can go head-to-head with Democrats? And I would be all in on a steady voice, someone that is going to look at the facts and just the facts and get to the bottom of this, which is important. I think there's also some concern on the other side in terms of how Nancy Pelosi has set this up to date. Is it seems to be built on a predetermined conclusion rather than a path to conclusion. And I think we need to make sure this is a path guided by facts and facts
alone.
What do
you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
There has been so much put out there and spoken about we know exactly what happened and exactly who was to blame and putting a lot of the emphasis on the former president, which I do believe he does have culpability in this. But we cannot assume the outcome based on what we know right now. And we cannot put people on this panel that clearly have a predetermined outcome about their decision. So I think it's important to put, as I said, on both sides, steady, level-headed people that will have a bipartisan look at the facts and just the facts. And that includes giving Republicans the opportunities, just as Democrats, to call witnesses, hire staff, and ask the questions.
Well, Bill, I hear you there. I know you want to talk. The thinking is that McCarthy doesn't want Democrats to control the narrative and the news cycle. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think we have to stop the finger pointing about the committee before it's even formed. I mean, yes, there are some people who say Donald Trump ignited this whole thing. There are Republicans who say, hey, it was just another day of tourists roaming the Capitol. So forget those people. We need the select committee. Absolutely. I agree. Other than that, with everything that Alice said, we have to get to the bottom of this. This was an insurrection to overthrow the United States government. We cannot, de-emphasize what happened on that day. We got to get to the bottom of it. And the only way to do Kevin McCarthy could have had a bipartisan commission. So he kind of made his own mess here, but he walked away from that after appointing John Katko to make a deal with Benny Thompson. He walked away from that deal. So now he's stuck with a select committee. It's very, very important that both parties participate. It's very important, I agree with Alice, that Kevin McCarthy ignore the hotheads like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Gaetz or Jim Jordan and put on some good, strong, outspoken, reasonable Republicans to represent their side and get this thing wrapped up by the end of the year so we can move on.
Okay, actually, that leads me to my final question on this issue before we move on is sort of like, what should we be prepared for here? How long will this play out? How contentious will it be? And how important will it be for Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans? And I'll throw that out to either one of you.
Well, I'll just jump in. I think it's important for... I'm sorry, Alice, go ahead.
Now, just one point on, obviously there's currently an investigation going on from the FBI and the Judicial Department on this, and evidence from that will be coming out simultaneously. So I think it's important to move expeditiously on setting up this panel and moving forward, but also keeping in mind there's the opportunity to glean information from ongoing investigations that will help part of this. I just hope that this is done and completed before we get into the midterm elections, because this is not what we need to be focusing on. We need to be focusing on policies and not this tragedy on January 6th.
Bill, give it a crack, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I just say very, very quickly, look, after the Cuban Missile Crisis, after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, after 9/11, there was a national commission to get to the bottom of it. This is equally important. I think it's very important that it be wrapped up by the end of the year. There's no reason they cannot do it. And I think this will be extremely critical for both Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy going into 2022 to say, to show the world that for one time, we can put politics aside and unite in saving our democracy.
Let's see what you both think of the stories that have been circulating about the past week or so. Staffing dissent, departures in Vice President Kamala Harris's office. Bill, this growing pains, leaks for political gain, is it something more concerning to you?
I think there's something else going on. Yeah, there are growing pains, and I'm sure there are some staffing problems that have leaked out. But what I find interesting, Peter, is that Republicans have tried to villainize Joe Biden, and they really have had a hard time doing it. So I think they've given up on making Biden a villain, and they're trying to now turning to Kamala Harris, who, as a woman, as an African-American, is kind of an easy target. As a Californian, let me just say, it's clear, number one, that Kamala Harris is a very key, important part of the Joe Biden team. She's involved in every decision, every major event. She's like Joe Biden was with Obama. She has the last word in any decision making in the Oval Office. And as a Californian now, I would just say those who try to sell Kamala Harris short are making a big mistake. She was the first woman district attorney of San Francisco, excelled at it. First woman attorney general of California, excelled at it. The first African-American woman representing California in the United States Senate, did a great job. Don't sell her short as Vice President of the United States.
Well, Alice, she also has a lot on her plate. She's dealing with voting rights, with vaccines, with immigration. I know Republicans like to remind her of that. How do they see how the Vice President is doing?
From a political standpoint, there are concerns. And look, to what Bill said, I agree with a lot of what he said. And it's clear, having worked in an administration, in any administration, you will always have people on the outside who think they belong on the inside, who want to turn things upside down. And that's what we have here. And I will give her somewhat of a pass on a lot of this, because I could care less about the palace intrigue in the VP's office, but I am concerned about the policies. And to your question, Peter, I think she has not stepped up to the plate and addressed the issues at the border with regard to immigration, which she is tasked with. I disagree with her handling and the hypocrisy with regard to defund the police and her all-in in support of the human infrastructure and the progressive wish list. The policies that she is working to implement and trying to accomplish, that is where Republicans have the issue. We don't care about the goings-on in her office, but we do care about the policies that she's trying to implement.
All right. Well, President Biden spoke yesterday, just hours before the CDC announced that the Delta variant is now making up about half of the new infections in this country. Only 47% of the country is vaccinated. He pleaded with people to get their shots. Here he is.
Do it now for yourself and the people you care about, for your neighborhood, for your country. It sounds corny, but it's a patriotic thing to do.
Alice, can Biden or really anyone at this point depoliticize the vaccine issue at this point?
It will be tough. Look, this is a healthcare issue. It's not a political issue. I would encourage everyone to go get a vaccine. The problem is we have many people in this country that don't think Joe Biden is the duly elected president, and they won't listen to him. But I pray that they listen to healthcare experts and do the right thing and get their vaccination.
Bill, do you have common ground on this one as well?
Well, we certainly do, and that this is not a political issue, should not be a political issue. Masks are not political. Vaccinations are not political. I think, in response to your question, Peter, I think if anybody can do it, Joe Biden can, because he's just pleading with people to do what's best for themselves, for their family, and for their friends. Notice, and I hope he gets credit for this, he's not saying, we're going to have any new law, no new government mandate, no new required passport or anything. We're just saying, be the best that you can be. He's appealing to Americans at that level, and I just hope they respond.
Yeah, I have less than a minute and a half here, but I want to give you both an opportunity here to weigh in on something. I mentioned it was kind of a quiet week in politics. I mean, just listen to us, how even and tempered and mild everyone's being. what's on your mind right now? Sort of as we have a moment to breathe and look ahead. Alice, you start, and then Bill, what are you looking forward to here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, obviously, I look forward to the legal battle that President Trump has just started with the high-tech Facebook and Googles and the internet groups. Look, I think that they did infringe on his free speech, but having people pay for his legal bills, I think, is a bridge too far. But this is going to be dominating his headlines for the next several weeks and months.
Okay, that's a good one. Bill, you're up.
Well, Peter, I'm going to go non-political here because of the story that I've been intrigued with this week and really disappointed in is Sha'Carri Richardson, this great sprinter who's not going to be able to compete and for us, representing us in the Olympics because she smoked a joint. Give me a freaking break. Smoking a joint does not make you run faster.
Yeah. Bill Press and Al Stewart, thanks so much.